And please join me in prayer once again as we prepare to hear our message. Well, Lord, again this morning, we thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. And we thank you so much for the gift of your word, which tells us, Lord, what you have done for us and why you have done it, that we might put our trust in you and that through faith we might receive the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So once again, bless us as we gather, bless us as we listen, and we pray, Lord, that you would be at work within us as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we continue on in our series on the Ten Commandments as we are once again in this season of reflection. And we now come to the fourth commandment. And all of you looking up at the screen, I always like to tell my kids this is the favorite of my commandments. I think most parents would say the same. And again, I say this because as we heard a moment ago from Exodus 20:12, the Lord said, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you." And I guess maybe I should lay a couple of ground rules as we go through this message today. And I always say this when I give messages on marriage. You know, if you got kids sitting next to you this morning, no throwing elbows, okay? And no throwing elbows, because as we go through this, I think you're going to find that you're equally guilty as you sit there today also. So just let the Lord work in hearts and let the Lord do his work. But once again, as we look around at our society, and even as we look at ourselves as the church today, we see that things have changed greatly in our society over the years. And most of the changes that we see are really not for the better. The way that young people treat their parents is scary. The way that we as adults treat our parents is scary. People dishonor their parents all the time, and we do so in many different ways. And once again, this is true not only of young people, this is true also of us as adults. Now, maybe I've shared this with you before, I can't remember, but one thing that really highlighted to me how poorly we treat our parents in this nation is when I was living in San Diego, and as I was living in the inner city among people from many different cultures and from many different places around the globe. When I lived out there, I lived right across the street from my church, but I was also, there was only one other white family in the neighborhood. And that was our church's custodian and his family, who also lived on church property. Everybody else around us were from other nations and from other cultures. And particularly, I lived near Mexicans, Vietnamese, Eritreans, and Ethiopians in that neighborhood. And what I witnessed among them was something vastly different from what you experience among your typical American culture. Now, most people from outside of the United States, they still greatly honor their parents. I remember watching the Vietnamese children who would bow to their parents as a sign of respect. The children from each one of the cultures that I just mentioned, they would obey their parents without question and without talking back when asked to do something. And this honoring of the parents, it also extended to the adults who took care of their elderly parents and who provided for their needs in old age. They typically would take their elderly parents into their home, or in some cultures, like in the Vietnamese culture, when you got married, you didn't go off to live by yourself, you moved in with the bride's parents, and you would care for them as they age. So again, they show a tremendous amount of respect for their parents. And they show it in ways that we don't see so much in our culture anymore. Once again, our culture is very different. It's very different from even the way that it used to be. We can see the transition that has taken place in our own culture over just two or three generations. People in our society today, whether they be children or adults, once again, we often fail to honor our parents. People in our society, we tend to look upon our parents as equals, or in some cases, we even look down upon them. And so we need to search our own hearts and see how we might be disobeying this command, that once again, we might repent of our sins and turn to God for forgiveness. Now, as we approach this subject, we must also first understand what it means to honor our parents. And to honor somebody means that we esteem them, it means that we respect them. It generally means that we have a high regard for them and that we defer to them. So this is the attitude that we are to have toward our father and our mother. Now, Martin Luther, in his explanation of this commandment, says this, and this is from the Small Catechism. We should fear and love God, and so we should not despise our parents and superiors, nor provoke them to anger, but honor, serve, obey, love, and esteem them. In his large catechism, he goes on to say that honoring our parents includes not only love, but also deference and humility and modesty. It requires that we show respect to our parents by our actions. He says that to honor our parents means that we esteem them, prize them, submit to them, and serve them. Now, this is a wonderful definition, and as we go on, I think you'll see very clearly that it's very scriptural as well. And for this reason, as you consider the fourth commandment, it again has become very clear to us how we violate it. It becomes very clear to us how we dishonor our father and mother. We see children today who it's very common for them to talk back to their parents and mouth off to them. We see children who refuse to obey their parents. I've heard of cases where children have threatened to turn in their parents for child abuse when they're being disciplined. However, as I've mentioned, this command is broken not only by young children, but by grown children. We see adults who demonstrate the same lack of respect toward their parents. We see adults who talk to their parents in a disrespectful way and who talk badly about their parents to others around them. We see many adult children who fail to include their parents in their life and who fail to care for them as they enter into old age. And this becomes very clear anytime you walk into a nursing home. I'm in nursing homes a fair amount as part of the ministry that I am a part of. And you see so many residents there who have children who live right here in the vicinity. They have families who live right in the vicinity. Yet they receive few, if any, visits. Their children just don't have time for their parents. And honestly, I find that quite disturbing to see that type of attitude being displayed. Now, these aren't just arbitrary explanations of this command that I'm offering you. It's not something that Martin Luther just pulled out of thin air. It's not something that I'm making up on my own. We find this commandment explained to us all throughout the Word of God. And we're going to look at several of those places here this morning. Now, first of all, we see that Paul addresses this commandment in Ephesians chapter 6. And starting in verse 1, he says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land." We also see something similar that he writes in Colossians 3:20, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And so we see in these passages of Scripture that children are called upon to obey their parents. They are called upon to obey their parents. And not only do we have these commands of the Lord, but as we consider this way of honoring our father and mother, we also have the example of Jesus, who even though he is God, grew up just like any other boy. You may remember how in Luke chapter 2, Jesus went with his parents to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And he was only 12 years old when this was taking place. But when the feast was over, Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem without the knowledge of his parents as they headed home. Now, when they discovered that he was missing, when they found that he wasn't with the group that they were traveling with, they went back to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him. And they found him sitting in the temple, talking with the teachers and asking them questions. Now, when they found him, Mary, just like any other mother, came to him and she asked, or she explained to him that they had been searching for him in great distress. And he answered her, saying, and this is in verse 49 of that chapter, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" So we learn from this that Jesus absolutely knew who he was. He knew that he was the Son of God. Yet even though this is true, we read that he returned home with his parents and he was submissive to them. So even though Jesus is God of the universe, even though he is the Lord of all creation, and even though in this sense he had authority over his parents, he still obeyed them and he was submissive to them. And in this way, he honored them. And as I briefly mentioned a few moments ago, this is one way that children violate this command today. They don't honor their parents by obeying them and by submitting to them. And we see that in this way, not only are they being disobedient to their parents, they're also being disobedient to the Lord. As they fail to obey their father and their mother, they are actually sinning against God. Now, this doesn't mean that a child must obey his parents if they're being asked to do something that is sinful. Our first obligation is to the Lord. But we must also recognize as children that our parents have been placed in a position of authority over us. They have been placed in that position not by society and not by any person. They have been placed in that position by God himself. And in this way, it ultimately dishonors him when children fail to obey their father and their mother. We see a couple other explanations of this command in Exodus chapter 21. Now, in verse 15 of that chapter, God says this, "Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death." And in verse 17, he says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death." And so, clearly, we see in these two commands that children are not to curse and they are not to hit their parents. Now, I realize that for most of us, the punishment of death seems rather extreme in these cases. But it does show us, as we look back to the nation of Israel, how seriously God takes these sins. These are not sins that God will simply overlook. God demands that children honor their parents. And for this reason, we must strive as children to speak kindly to our parents, to speak respectfully to them at all times, and we must also seek to treat them with honor and respect. Now, I'm sure that like me, you've seen this command being violated all over the place in our society today. You've probably heard children calling their parents degrading names or even cursing at their parents. You've likely heard of children in a moment of anger screaming out that they hate their parents. In some extreme cases, I've even heard of parents who have been physically hit by their children. Now again, we see that these actions go against this command that God has given to us. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus shows yet another way that the people of his day were dishonoring their parents. And it also speaks to us as well. We see that as he was speaking to the scribes and to the Pharisees who were accusing him, Jesus said this, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." So apparently it had become a practice among the religious leaders of Jesus' day to deny support to their parents. And they justified this by telling their parents, "Well, whatever material support you would have received from me, I'm giving that to God instead." And they believed that by doing this, it excused the lack of honor that they should be displaying towards their parents. Now, Jesus, as we see in this passage, he clearly told them that this practice was sinful. By failing to provide for their parents, whether they were actually giving the money to God or not, they were violating this command of God. By failing to provide for their parents, they were failing to honor them. Now, people today, we don't generally go to our parents and say, "Well, whatever help you would have received from me, I'm giving it to the church." We don't typically do that. But many people do today fail to provide for their parents in time of need. Even after their parents spent a good portion of their life raising their children, caring for them, providing for their every need, their children fail to return that love and care as they age. And this, according to Jesus, is sin. This is a failure to honor our father and our mother. The Apostle Paul also talks about this in 1 Timothy 5, when he was giving instructions to the church, particularly about widows. And he says that if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn how to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. And this, he says, is pleasing in the sight of God. In verse 8, he then goes on to say that if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. That's a strong statement. And it's one that probably convicts a lot of us here even today. If we fail to provide for our own household, we are worse than an unbeliever. And we have denied the faith. So again, Paul's point is clear. It is our duty as children to provide for our parents and our grandparents. In this way, we honor them, and if we fail to do so, we sin. Another way to honor our parents, according to Scripture, is by good character and reputation. And again, we see this in several places, but a couple of places we see it is in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 23, starting in verse 24, it says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." And in Proverbs 15:20, it's worded even more strongly. And it says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother." So according to these passages, we honor our parents by our righteousness. But if we are foolish, if we are wicked, we dishonor them. And so what we learn from this is that our conduct and our behavior naturally reflect upon our parents. And they reflect upon our parents because even though we are certainly capable of making our own decisions, and even though our sin is our own, we answer for our own sin, it is still our parents who raised us and who instructed us. And I think that most of us agree that it's a great blessing to see our children as they grow and as they begin to live lives of faith. It's a blessing to see them living according to the Word of God. But so many parents experience the exact opposite. They have watched as their children have chosen the wrong path. They have watched as their children have ignored everything that they have tried to instill within them. They have watched as their children have lived lives of rebellion against God. And although, even in cases like this, we still love our children, and we still seek to demonstrate that love to them on a daily basis, it brings dishonor upon us. So what we learn from this is that in order to properly honor our parents as well as the Lord, we must first and foremost look to Jesus in faith. In order to properly honor our parents, we must turn away from our sin. We must seek God's help that we might live in a way that glorifies Him. And that will also reflect honorably upon our parents. Now, many of us, we try to justify the dishonor that we demonstrate to our parents. And we try to justify it by saying that, you know what, well, my mom and dad, they're not worthy of my honor and respect. They don't deserve it. And we point to the mistakes that our parents have made over the years as evidence of this. And so we continue on in our dishonor and disrespect, feeling perfectly justified in our actions. We dishonor them, telling ourselves that, you know what, respect is something that has to be earned, and our parents have not earned it from us. Now, when we do this, when we use this rationale, we're forgetting a couple of very important things. We're forgetting, first of all, that, you know what, our parents are sinners just like we are. We forget that, yes, our parents have made mistakes. Yes, our parents have fallen short in many ways, just as we ourselves have. But this does not excuse our failure to honor them. You see, we are called to honor our parents not because of what they have done. We are called to honor them because of who they are. As people, right, they're no greater than us. As people, they are sinners just like us. But as I mentioned earlier, they have been placed into a position of honor by God Himself. And so we are called upon to respect that. It's just like those times when perhaps we've stood before a judge. You know, it doesn't matter if you're serving on a jury, if you're serving as a witness, or even if you're the one being tried. You respect the judge. Why? Because of the position that he's in. We refer to him as your honor. We listen when he speaks. We don't talk back. We do what he asks of us. And we do this knowing that if we fail to properly honor him, we can be held in contempt of court, and we can be fined or even jailed, right? Now again, in himself, a judge is no better than us. A judge is a man, just like us. He makes mistakes, just like the rest of us, but we recognize that he has been placed in a position of authority over us. And for this reason, we had better give to him the respect that he is due. And you see, the same thing is true of our parents. There's also another point that we must consider. We must also remember that you and I, even though we are sinners, we are loved by God, right? We are loved by God, even though we in no way deserve it. He gives it to us as a gift of grace. And in the same way, even if our parents are unworthy and undeserving of our honor and respect, even if they have failed us in many ways, we should give it to them anyway. And we should give it to them as an act of grace. God assures us in this command that if we honor our parents, there is great blessing in store for us. And you may remember, we heard this earlier as this commandment was read. But once again, look, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given to you. So God promised the Israelites a long, blessed life in the promised land if they kept this commandment. Now we, of course, we're not the nation of Israel. We're not living in the promised land in that sense. But Paul, in Ephesians 6, he applies this promise across the board. He tells us, again, as we heard earlier, this is the first commandment with a promise. And we are promised that we will live in God's continual blessing as we properly honor our father and our mother. So once again, as we look back, I think we can all see the many ways that we have broken this command, and perhaps even the many ways we continue to do so even now. We see that we have failed to honor God's call on our lives. And this is something I know it's true of me. I can look back on my own life and I can see that, you know, I never crossed my dad to his face. I was too afraid of him to do that. But even though he was tough, I didn't always talk respectfully about him. Because of the feelings that I had toward him, I would disrespect him before others. And I did also fail to have a respectful attitude for him within my heart. My mom, she was softer, and so at times I did disrespect her to her face. I would disobey her, knowing that she likely wouldn't come down very hard on me. And also as an adult, although I've tried over the course of the years, I haven't always made the time for my parents that I should. I've gotten too caught up in my own life, and I've often put them on the back burner, as so many adult children do. And I'm sure that each of you can relate. Perhaps as you look at your own life, you can identify other ways that you have been guilty of violating this command. But once again, as we have seen each week as we've been going through the commandments, let's use this guilt that is brought up within our heart as a way to come before God. Let's use it, and let's come to him in a spirit of confession and a spirit of humility, asking for his mercy. And let's also go to him with our faith in Jesus, knowing that he's a merciful God, knowing that he desires to bestow his forgiveness upon all who ask. And also let's ask him for the strength and for the ability to properly honor our father and our mother if we still have them here with us. Let's pray that he will give to us the grace to bestow this honor upon our parents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this time this morning. And once again, Lord, as we reflect upon this command, we see the many ways that we have violated it in our own lives. Or even those who have grown up in a Christian home, who have known this commandment since they were young, and even those who, Lord, have good intentions, who strive to honor their parents as you have called them, even they have fallen short. And so we pray, Lord, once again that you would forgive us. We pray, Lord, that as we see our sin, that you would wash us clean, and bestow your mercy upon us for Christ's sake. And we also pray, Lord, that you would again work in our hearts, that you would transform us, that as we turn away from our sin, that you would give us the strength, that you would give to us the ability to properly honor our father and our mother, and also the other superiors that you have placed over us in life. So work in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.